Welcome back in. Final hour here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Now two locations in Murfreesboro for Volunteer State Bank. And we are talking Titans. And to help us do that, we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm good, boys. How are you guys?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And, David, we'll start, obviously, with Titans roster cutdown day yesterday. The most notable, Dez Fitzpatrick, not a part of the 53-man roster. He has been cut by the Titans. What was your reaction when you saw that news? Were you surprised? And what do you think that means for the Titans in terms of the way they've drafted the last couple of years? How concerned would you be if you're a Titans fan that Dez Fitzpatrick didn't even make it to the opening day on this roster?
You know, it wasn't surprising based on, you know, kind of what has happened in the preseason and what you saw. It's obviously stunning when you think, you know, this is a guy they traded up 17 spots to go get in the draft, and, you know, in the fourth round. They really liked him. But, you know, if you've watched this team, Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, you know, guys who were around on the practice squad last year that we didn't really get to see, you know, when you saw them, you're like, these are legitimate NFL players. You know, they have some skins on the wall. You got Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who plays a very specific role for this team and is a guy that they really like too. You know, Cameron Batson is still sticking around for now, although I think he's probably going to be one of the guys who's going to be washed out in the COVID return here. But, you know, Batson's a guy they've talked for years about his toughness and how much they like his toughness. You know, Dez Fitzpatrick just didn't do anything to stand out among that group. And, it raises concerns about the scouting and drafting when you're that aggressive and going up to get a guy. But I think it also speaks well to the personnel department that they can say, you know what, we're not gonna spend time or a roster spot on a guy who can't help us just because, or is not going to help us as much as somebody else just because we drafted him. And you know, we've seen GMs here who would, you know, hang on to their draft picks like grim death just because, you know, they were draft picks. And you know, I would assume the plan is to get Fitzpatrick onto the practice squad and try and turn this into a redshirt year, but, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, David. Do you think he will clear waivers so that they can do that? And if you look at Kinsey, I think you're probably right on Batson, and then, you know, McMath right now on the COVID list, but I think he's probably going to also be waived. Or maybe you disagree with that. But of those guys, like, who would you expect to be ultimately be on that practice squad?
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I think McMath is getting waived too, because I think, you know, he's basically the same guy as Westbrook-Ikhina, just not as good, right? I mean, and not as established in terms of what he's accomplished in the NFL, which in McMath's case is nothing thus far. You know, in terms of the practice squad wish list, I think Kinsey is number one on that list. But I also think, you know, Kinsey is a guy that a bunch of teams in the league knew about because he could run. Right. The big question with him was D3 guy. What could he do? You know, in terms of trying to get open against NFL players. And he didn't get a chance to show that last year in the preseason, so that was still the big question hanging out there. The guy made plays in every game in the preseason this year. He made plays on third down. He made a play on fourth down. He was, you know, he was the number one targeted receiver, I think, all three games. Both quarterbacks threw to him. I mean, there's a lot of things. I would think that he's most likely to end up on somebody else's active roster, and we'll see. A guy like Fitzpatrick, when you think about the number of wide receivers who have been available or who have been draftable in the last couple of years, and the caliber of those wide receivers, again, I don't think Fitzpatrick stands out from that group in any way that another team's going to say, "Ooh, we got to get this guy on our active roster." So I think there's a real good chance he gets through waivers and gets to the practice squad.
David, Cam Newton released yesterday by the New England Patriots, and some Titans fans say, well, if he's out there, maybe the Titans should take a look at bringing in Cam Newton to be the backup. Do you think there's any chance the Titans even take a look at Cam Newton to bring him in as the backup quarterback?
I guess, yeah, you take a look at him. I would say the chances of him being on this roster are slim to none. I guess you probably talk about it and you think, you know, what can he do for us? How can he fit in? But I don't think you need a guy with that kind of personality as your backup quarterback, particularly when he is on the backside of his career. You know, he's not been the same guy since the shoulder injury. It just doesn't make sense for the locker room. Now, if he was Cam Newton, which of course he wouldn't have been cut if he was still Cam Newton, then it's a whole different discussion. But I think you sort of go with what you have right now.
So if you're asked, David, just what's your biggest takeaway or storyline from the past month with this team? What would that be?
The biggest, I would have to say the optimism around the secondary, based on you know the way we've seen those guys perform in practice, the way that they've been pretty similar in the games. You know, after last season's disaster in terms of pass coverage and third down, and then you pretty much blow up the entire secondary and start over outside of Kevin Byard. I think that group has created real cause for optimism that certainly did not exist a month or two ago.
David Beauclair from SI.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, how concerned are you that the Titans have now spent a first-round pick at right tackle last year and then a second-round pick at right tackle this year? And when Mike Vrabel was listing off the players that are competing for the right tackle position the other day, the second-round pick was not in that list that he listed off. What's your concern level right now with Dylan Raidens?
Minimal. I think, you know, Raidens, I guess, is going to be – he's one of those guys – he's going to be a starting offensive lineman. The question is he going to be a guard or a tackle? And I think the Titans coaches are still trying to figure that out. So in terms of that, I don't think it's a big issue. As a second round pick out of an FCS school who played one game plus the Senior Bowl in the last year, you know, you can say, okay, he's going to need a little time, and eventually we'll find his spot and we'll get him in there and he'll be a long-time player for us. You go, okay, you know, that's fine. Now, the fact that you've tried 2 years in a row with a high draft pick to fill a very specific spot on your offensive line, and you absolutely did not do it with Isaiah Wilson, you might not have done it with Dylan Raidens. Now that's becoming a problem because, you know, Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold and Ben Jones, none of those guys are getting any younger. You know, eventually you're going to have to draft a left tackle and a left guard. And the plan was, you know, everybody feels really good about Nate Davis at right guard. They wanted to get a player about the same age, put him next to Davis there, let those two grow old together, and then you address the left side and get a couple people in there over a couple years. Now your whole plan in that regard is falling apart while you're still chasing your tail trying to get a right tackle.
So you sticking with Ficken?
I'm sticking with Ficken. Yeah, I think the fact that the Titans cut McCann when they did after Ficken makes that 58-yarder against Tampa Bay, I think that's one of those things that, you know, that was as much a move of let's let Sam Ficken feel good too. You know, let's show confidence in him. He's done enough. I think if they could have said, well, that was a great performance, Sam Ficken. We're gonna keep evaluating this position and go forward. I think they really wanted, you know, kickers and their confidence. That's always such a nebulous thing. But I think that was a move as much as anything. Like let's let this guy feel good, like it's his job, and that sort of early faith in him will be rewarded down the line. So I think uh, I think, yeah, although there are, you know, I was looking through the waiver wire last night. There's plenty of kickers out there if you wanted to try something different now.
David, are your Philadelphia Phillies going to catch the Braves? Got a month left now, 2.5 games back.
You know, they seem to have too many 4-game losing streaks in them, Robbie. They just, you know, every time I think, okay, they're going to. I remember what year was it? 93 when they went to the World Series for no reason in particular that year. I'd never done this before. Never did it since. I cut out their little schedule from the Sporting News, and I stuck it on my refrigerator. I was living by myself, young man living by myself at the time. And every day I would either put a red W or a black L over how they did on this particular day. And it was really fascinating, you know, since they were a good team that year. But it was fascinating to watch it play out because they never had a big losing streak in there. And this Phillies team, they just, you know, like I say, they just lose 4 in a row, 5 in a row, here and there too many times. So, no, I don't think they're going to be able to catch the break.
Still good to be Bryce Harper, though, making a lot of money, that guy.
Yes, and playing well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, playing well, but not transforming that team in a way that I think you would have hoped when you spent that money on it.
David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans. David, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Always a pleasure, boys. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. David Beauclair from SI.com. When we come back, we'll react to what David had to say there about the Titans. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Don't miss the 2021 Middle Tennessee Highland Games and Celtic Festival, Saturday, September the 11th at Percy Warner Park. A fun-filled day full of Celtic games, children's activities, Celtic music, food, Scottish and Irish dancers, local and regional vendors, and much more. Tickets are on sale now. Visit mid10games.com for more details. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 this Monday, September the 6th from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to David Beauclair for joining us in the last segment. And Beauclair thinks that Cam Batson may not survive when the people come back off the COVID list. Maybe Cam Batson gets cut as well. What do you think of that? Do you think Cam Batson's spot on this team is safe at this point with Des Fitzpatrick not making it? Do you think Cam Batson still has a chance to be cut? How do you think it plays out with Cam Batson, who I think both you and I had counted out at wide receiver before the cuts were made yesterday?
Yeah, well, and it's funny because I had a text on my personal text line from like an hour ago that I'm just now catching up on, so clearly I'm just sort of
all over it,
slogging through today. But TD texted me in the 8 o'clock hour. We were talking about Batson, and he said, this is a good point. Batson gives another option on punt return and kick return. Kick return part is notable because Darrington Evans right now is banged up.
Right.
So that's another thing to keep in mind. I don't think Batson's especially good as a returner. If he were a better returner, you know, then honestly, if you're a better returner, like I could see him possibly beating out Chester Rogers, although I would say still think Chester Rogers has been a better performing receiver this camp. But that is a fair point. Another guy who can handle that stuff, especially, again, we don't know how long Darrington Evans is out for is the problem there.
Yeah, exactly. And another interesting spot that we didn't really get to David with other than the Cam Newton question, but the Titans do have at this point, you've got Tannehill on the COVID list, and you've got Matt Barkley and Logan Woodside still on the roster. So I guess the question is, are they going to keep three quarterbacks, or when Tannehill comes back off the COVID list, are one of those two other quarterbacks going to be shown the door at that point? That's going to be really interesting to see what the Titans do on that front, particularly given the situation this year with not only injuries that you've always got to worry about in the NFL, but COVID as well.
I mean, you can't have seven receivers and three quarterbacks,
right? You cannot.
I don't think so.
I mean, I guess you could. But
you could. I guess I would lean toward they'll keep the seven receivers and Matt Barkley will be cut. But you could make the case that this is not a bad year to keep two other quarterbacks. I'm going to guess no.
Absolutely. By the way, did you see I was going to wait to talk about this a little bit later, but did you see the Urban Meyer comments from yesterday in terms of vaccinations playing a role in making roster decisions at that point? And now apparently the NFLPA is investigating that. The Jacksonville Jaguars have just come out with a statement that says, quote, "Availability is one of the many factors taken into account when making roster decisions. We have vaccinated and unvaccinated players on our roster, and no player was released because of their vaccination status. Ultimately, decisions are based on a player's ability to help the Jaguars win. We educate our players and respect personal decisions as it pertains to the vaccine. We want to keep our players, staff, and families safe as we comply with protocols related to both health and safety and competition on game days."
Yeah, so, you know, here's the thing. Urban said out loud what I think a lot of coaches probably think, which is, again, I think it's a tie-breaking factor, and it's a factor for bottom-of-the-roster guys.
Right.
I mean, if you have a star player who's, like, I think Lamar Jackson is not vaccinated. Lamar Jackson's going to be the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens this year. Carson Wentz, not vaccinated. He's starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts whenever he's available. So, you know, this is going to be – the NFLPA is going to get into this stuff, and that's fine. I mean, that's their job to protect the players. But Urban, I think, just said out loud what a lot of coaches are doing, which is, well, I'm weighing this guy against this guy at corner, that number six corner on my team, this guy's vax, this guy isn't. It's maybe this guy's a little bit better, but now this guy could be a problem. You know, he could be available less often. I'll go with the vax player. I bet you it's happened in a lot of – that conversation has happened in a lot of places. The coach just hasn't said it at the press conference.
And Urban Meyer did.
Urban Meyer did.
That is correct. Well, people here were talking about that yesterday when Cam Newton got cut. I mean, Cam Newton had to miss a little time last week, and Mac Jones, you know, came in and took the reps with the ones. And now, look, I don't know that at the end of the day that stretch of time was the difference. Like, I think Mac Jones, the more you look at it, was probably just going to end up being the starter of the New England Patriots. So, I don't really know what that had to do with, and Bill Belichick was actually asked about that this morning, whether or not Cam's vaccination status had anything to do with him being cut. And, of course, he said no, and then kind of doubled down on it a little bit after that. But that is a topic of conversation right now in the NFL, is are these players to some degree, and I agree with you, I think it's more towards the bottom end of the roster, are these players good tiebreakers in these decisions that went into the 53-man rosters yesterday? Could vaccination status be a part of that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's clear. I don't think Urban Meyer had to say that for that to be a logical conclusion. It's just like, look, it's like take anything else like that that's different, that's separate from football. You know, like take getting in trouble with the law or whatever the case may be, personality. You know, those things come into play. If you are good enough, then that stuff ultimately, like, it you know, you're good enough. Like, Rashad Weaver is good enough that he's going to help the Titans this year. You know, I mean, he's got an issue coming up. Deshaun Watson is going to be someone's franchise quarterback in the future in the NFL.
Yep.
Despite all this stuff. So it is. If you're a fringe guy, though, and that is something that's on a pros and cons list, it's a con for every coach, because it just could cause problems. And the other guy over here may be a little bit less effective than you, but it's close enough that that's a tiebreaker.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ricky texting in, what about Desmond Trufant to bolster the secondary, who was also released yesterday by the Chicago Bears?
This is one of my favorite. I got to come up with a name for this season. It's like, I recognize the guy's name, so pick him up season, you know, in the NFL. I wouldn't touch the Titans corner group unless you can get a top-notch player right now. I mean, Desmond Trufant has been a good player in the league. I wouldn't mess with it.
He's 30. You know how the Titans feel about 30-year-old cornerbacks. Malcolm Butler out the door. By the way,
We haven't talked about that, and I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
But that's
he's on the reserve retired list.
Yeah,
from Arizona,
and it's been reported as a personal issue for Malcolm Butler. First of all, like Malcolm Butler, anybody who came in contact with him here, just such a guy who's full of life, you know, such a great personality. And I was really looking forward, frankly, to Malcolm Butler lining up against the Titans in week one. So I hope everything's okay with him. I hope we actually, I know in our NFL channels have talked a little bit. I mean, right now, he is not retired officially at this point. So I don't know if this is like a health issue he has that has come up or what, but wish the best for him. Credit to the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And hope everything's okay on that front. Ricky texting back in about Desmond Trufant. Stop it. He's more than just a name. Well, I mean, the last 2 years, he's played a total of 15 games, has one pick a year ago, and one sack, and 20 tackles.
So he's basically a name.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, he's not an especially effective player anymore.
Yeah.
So I guess you could, you know, with a guy like that, okay, well, you could, it's just like you do the thing with, are you like Cam Newton versus Logan Woodside. You could take Desmond Trufant and say, okay, is he better than Chris Jackson, your seventh-round pick from a year ago? He might be, but Chris Jackson has been here now for 2 years. He's definitely a big, you know, plus in the locker room guy. He's a pro. He knows exactly what the defense is. If you have to put him in the slot right now, he can play it for you. Right now, you're ready to play a game with him. Is Desmond Trufant at this stage in his career going to help you a lot or be better than that? Now you got to bring him in, and here's our defense. No, I don't think it'll be a thing.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. I have more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on Louisville, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:15, and first pitch is at 5:30. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Retro, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, here with you.
And a great jam coming in, Michelle. By the way, I retweeted this, did not know this. Today is the 40-year anniversary of the release of the album Private Eyes.
Oh.
The Hall & Oates masterpiece
today of 1981. Today is a special day.
Yeah.
New sponsor for the show, September 1st. Something else was today.
Yeah. We talked roller coasters and got a lot of people.
A lot of roller coaster submissions about the roller on the text coasters. Line.
Yeah.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Cedar Point rules the day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Maybe time for you later on.
We should do a show field trip to Cedar Point.
Maybe time later on for you to call the hotline, the Hall & Oates hotline.
I may have to call the hotline today
to celebrate.
By the way, anybody who doesn't know the hotline, it's on my Twitter account.
At Joe Rexroad on Twitter.
At Joe Rexroad, but it's 719-266-2837. Call that, and you'll feel better about everything.
That's right. Will from Nashville texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A story, I guess, from thepewterplank.com down in Tampa Bay. Keyshawn Vaughn, regarded as one of the fastest players in the NFL, clocked at 21 miles per hour the other night.
Is that right?
Keyshawn Vaughn making some noise down there in Tampa Bay.
Well, I still believe Keyshawn Vaughn's going to make an impact in this league. You know, I thought
Super Bowl champion Keyshawn Vaughn to you.
That's right. Well, I thought he was going to make more of an impact last year. Pretty loaded room, but boy, he's talented, and I would not necessarily have guessed that. But the guy can hit home runs. So keep an eye on him for sure.
Score touchdowns too.
That too, yes, which is more appropriate for the sport we're talking about. Yes. Thank you.
So that was a really bad joke on my phone.
Very Porthish of you.
It was really, really bad.
Very Porthlight. Porthlike.
You owned it, Robbie, so it's okay.
Thank you.
You quickly realize your error.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So, Joe, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but we've talked about Des Fitzpatrick being cut, and now the 53-man roster that's really not the 53-man roster at this point. Who are five guys that you think could be in danger of being cut once that some names start to come back off the COVID list for the Titans as we get closer and closer to week one coming up against Arizona?
Well, it's like five in the bonus six. Yeah. The sixth guy is Mekhi Sargent, and boy, I'm just really intrigued by how that will go. McNichols or Sargent as your third running back. But, you know, the guys, I put this out in The Athletic yesterday after cuts, the five people that I would pick to be cut are Matt Barkley, Daniel Munyer, Chris Jones, Brady Breeze, and I went with Bradley McDougald with Crookshank making it as the fourth safety. I've flip-flopped on that one. Just the fact that Crookshank is back out there and they know him, they trust him, they like him as a player, he's a core special teams guy. If he's out there now, I think you still have to ask the question for John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Is he going to be healthy all year? Is he going to get hurt again in a week? But I'm going to go with that as a guess. And I'm also going to guess Sargent keeps the job.
Does that count as a tough one too? Roster projection 4.0, 53-man?
I mean, I guess.
Nailed it!
Yeah. Now, granted, that would be a roster projection after the 53 technically came out. But, hey.
I didn't specify.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. There you go. See, you were right all along.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
It is. So much going on today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here because, I mean, going through the receivers, you got A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds, who, by the way, back at practice yesterday, so that's good to see if you're a Titans fan.
Significant, yeah.
Absolutely. Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, Des Fitzpatrick cut yesterday, Cam Batson still on the team. So you've got some decisions to make here because it's not just about, hey, we really like these players. It's also you can't have four wide receivers on the practice squad. Like there's some weeding down you're going to have to do. Like if Mason Kinsey, Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, and if Cam Batson got cut, all four of those guys made it through waivers and didn't get claimed. Like who do you put on the practice squad
yeah,
at that
I mean,
point?
Unless you want your Titans defense to get like a look at like the run and shoot every week, you're not going to put all of them on the practice squad.
Right.
And see, so my projection, I have doubts about it because I have two safeties cut. Are they going two heavier than they want to go at that position right now? But if they do, if I'm wrong and only one safety is cut from that group and either, two of the three between Breeze McDougald and Crookshank make it, then what gets. What's the position that gets zapped? I'm guessing receiver.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so.
It would be weird. I don't have any – I mean, I've never seen this exact situation before where you have a 53 with five starters on your COVID list. But it would seem weird that they would just keep all those safeties and then decide to cut two of them, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Is Nick Westbrook-Akina safe? Do you feel good about him being safe?
Thank you for asking. But you know what? Could you make a case that like Batson would make it over him? I think you could. I think you make the case. I don't think it'll happen. I think, as David Beauclair said earlier on the show, you're talking about a core special teams guy. You're talking about a guy who has been available, has been healthy, has been out there every single day. He's progressed as a receiver. If Nick Westbrook-Akina, first of all, the coaching staff did, the organization did, look at him as a guy who could potentially help this year. And I think he'd be in position for that, if not for Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers doing what they've done. But he's still a guy that I think if he was out there offensively this year, they'd feel comfortable with him being able to do the job. So I think he's safe. It's just still such a hard cut if Cam Batson's the one who goes.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, maybe it's time to retire the number 10 jersey from the Titans. Hasn't been going so well since number 10 with Vince Young. So, Des Fitzpatrick, number 10, the latest one.
Who else?
Adam Humphries was 10.
Yeah.
Vince Young was 10. I'm trying to think. There's been another one.
Jake Locker
was 10.
He was 10, too?
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, that's when you retire it, don't you?
Yeah.
Right after that.
That was a tough one.
I mean, Humphries was a good player when he played.
Right. But he didn't play very much.
He didn't play too much. You didn't get your money's worth out of him, but he was a good player.
You think a team's ever done that? They just retire a jersey because they don't want anybody to wear it anymore because it's been futile?
If that were the case, the Lions would have like four jersey numbers available right now. They've had people suck in almost every number repeatedly.
I think that's the first shot we've taken at the Lions today. Who Dan Campbell made the executive decision yesterday. Doesn't need any kickers. No kickers on the 53-man roster for the Lions.
That's outstanding.
I mean, he's going to pick one up. I mean, I think they're going to get a kicker.
I say you put out your strongest legged backup offensive lineman.
Just let it ride.
For some line drive kicks, and you just go for it.
Yeah. That would be a sight. That would be quite the sight to see.
I mean, he'd be the absolute most beloved coach in the NFL. Like, it's like that, the Alabama high school coach.
Yeah.
No punts.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it
on fourth down
just
every time.
Go, and then 2-point conversions, and on the 7 touchdowns you score this year, and it'd be great.
I don't know that I've ever seen someone have a 53-man roster with no kicker. That may be a first that I've seen.
Dan Campbell doesn't live in your little box.
He's an innovator.
That's right. We're all along for the ride. Let's enjoy it.
We'll continue the conversation when we come back. Got some tickets to give away as well for Nashville SC coming up next. So make sure you're tuned in for that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Joe, it's interesting here. We've got, and you just brought it up, college football all over the place starting tomorrow. Tennessee taking on Bowling Green. I think Ohio State and Minnesota are in action tomorrow night as well. And somehow Ohio State's only a 13.5-point favorite in that game. Is Minnesota going to be better than I think? P.J. Fleck rowing the boat up there?
There's some people in Big Ten country who think that Minnesota could actually pull this off. Like, pull it off, which I have my serious doubts about. But, you know, Fleck can row that boat, man.
He can.
He's built a pretty good program. They do have a veteran team.
He'll take off on a dead sprint from the tunnel to the 50-yard line. I can guarantee you that.
Oh.
He's coming out.
Yeah, maybe some cartwheels. But I don't know. Because I look at that line, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Ohio State is so loaded. They are young. They are new in a lot of spots. Sometimes early in a season, that can be problematic.
Ohio State.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah. Never mind.
We got some tickets to give away for Nashville SC. Got a big soccer weekend coming up this weekend at Nissan Stadium. And Nashville SC in action on Friday, taking on New York City at Nissan Stadium. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caller number 3 will win a family 4-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on New York City at Nissan Stadium coming up this Friday. So make sure you're dialing those phones right now. Big soccer weekend. I will be at the Nashville SC game on Friday, and I will also be at USA versus Canada on Sunday, too.
Wow, it's a big soccer weekend for you.
That's right.
So you're choosing...
Watching football of all kinds this weekend.
I was going to say, but you're choosing football over high school football on a Friday night.
I am.
But hey, Nashville SC is rolling, man.
There's a big Hendersonville Commando Beach Buccaneer rivalry coming up on Friday night, too, and I'm not going to it.
So you're going to like stream it on your phone while you're at the Nashville SC game?
I might.
We tried to stream Nolensville's game Friday and went on like this random site I've never heard of, and both Katie and I gave our credit card information, and then it never worked, and we probably should cancel our credit cards here, shouldn't we?
Probably so.
I keep forgetting to do that. This is a bad deal, man. It's a bad deal.
Well, speaking of high school football, what have you thought of the Bishop Sycamore situation out there? Where apparently ESPN got duped into putting Bishop Sycamore on TV. They played 2 games in 3 days. Some interesting stuff over the week. It's become one of the big stories in sports right now.
It's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff. It's like you hear about like players here and there who like make – and one of them is on Bishop Sycamore, by the way, who like make up recruiting profiles. Like, oh, I took all these officials and it's like, whoa, he starts getting actual calls from real coaches. But like the full team – that's pretty amazing stuff. And of course, there's also a lot out there, like, you know, news, Bishop Sycamore quarterback, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Yeah, of course. Joining Bishop Sycamore.
It's quite a story.
I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like that. How does that happen? Like, how does this situation take place to where they're playing a game? Which, by the way, it was pretty it was evident early on in that game. I mean, they were just getting absolutely waxed by, like, the end of the like first quarter. Yeah,
I mean, IMG is just loaded with D1 people, like kids.
Just getting destroyed on the field.
It's a great question. I don't know.
Logan on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PJ Fleck is such a fraud. I hope his little boat he rows gets boat raced by Ohio State.
PJ Fleck is a very polarizing figure. I know PJ a little bit from his time at Western Michigan. I always really enjoyed dealing with him. I thought he was great. And I'm not surprised he's had success at Minnesota, but he rubs some people the wrong, including I know some other media folks up Michigan who can't stand him, think he's just totally a snake oil salesman. But, man, the guy gets some results. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what he does long-term, if he can actually bring Minnesota to a consistent higher level. But he recruits and he motivates. That is big. Both are big parts of coaching.
There are some Vols fans that wanted some PJ Fleck this past coaching search.
Yes.
See if he would leave Minnesota to come to Tennessee.
I think I threw him out there, didn't I?
I think so.
Among folks. I mean, I was a big Tom Allen guy.
Yeah.
Still am. But I mean, I thought that fit better because he's recruited like Florida so much. But no, I don't think Fleck would have been a bad place to look at all. Some people just really don't like him. I'm trying to think of who he compares to in that way. Like, Dabo's kind of gotten that way, but some of that is also, you know, it's like he's part of the evil empire of college football. But, man, Fleck is, like, people either love or hate him.
Very polarizing. What's your most intriguing college football game of the weekend? Outside of Clemson, Georgia, because I think that's too obvious. Got UCLA, LSU, Penn State, Wisconsin, which I think is a sneaky good one. A top 25 matchup there. Poorest beloved Cincinnati Bearcats at number 8, taking on Miami of Ohio in the mix as well. What is your most intriguing game of the weekend? Mine might be LSU-UCLA.
I'm in on that one. I'm in on LSU-UCLA big time. I'm also big on, just mentioned Tom Allen, Indiana-Iowa is a big game in the Big Ten. Little cross-division game, but that's a big one. I know that, you know, Friday, at least streaming from a high school game, Michigan State Northwestern will be that's kind of an interesting beat, but Michigan State shouldn't be very good this year. Could Notre Dame Florida State be interesting on Sunday?
I don't know, man.
Has Norvell got them to where they could make that interesting at home?
I think Notre Dame's got a 7.5-point favorite,
which is not very big, you know. Got a night game at home. I mean, I'm certainly going to tune in. You know, I'm interested to see how it goes. Is there any chance that the U could give you a half a football against Alabama? Probably not, right?
I've seen this song and dance before where people are trying to, like, talk you into the opening season game.
Yeah.
For Alabama is going to be a good one. And, like, I've already seen some people this week, like, Miami, they're good. They're not going to beat Alabama, but it'll be a close game heading into the fourth quarter. No, it won't.
I've
seen this movie before.
And the thing is, like, I could buy again, just kind of like with Ohio State, new quarterback, new skill, young skill all over the place. Okay, maybe it's not altogether, you know, efficient early. But the problem is Alabama's defense this year, I think, is going to be their best in a long time.
Yep.
Like, I think it's going to be Alabama's best defense in quite a few years. So that helps you out in an opener.
We will get our first look at Bill O'Brien as the Alabama offensive coordinator. I'm very fascinated to see what that looks like. I can't imagine it's going to look all that much different based on the success that offense has had in recent years, but an underrated part of that team. Bill O'Brien, back in the saddle, baby.
Career
and
rehab.
He's not the GM, so that's good.
Yep. Come on in there for a year or two. Get your head coaching job out of it. See, I'm always interested in games that I know that I'll be watching to some extent, just because, like, they have solo TV spots. So, like, North Carolina at Virginia Tech Friday, kind of not bad. And it's a 5:00 start here. Little happy hour Friday. I mean, that could be interesting in Blacksburg.
Mac Brown.
I wonder if my brother will be at that game.
I don't know.
You should ask him.
The Virginia Tech grad He might be.
Maybe so.
I wonder if he's excited about his Hokies. And then I'll ask him.
The Monday night game to wrap it all up, the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, Louisville and Ole Miss. Could see some points in that game.
Yeah, hopefully that's good. I mean, Ole Miss will make it fun. Will Louisville?
I don't know.
Or Louisville. Will Louisville?
Louisville.
Oh, mute issue. Is that your first mute issue?
It's my
ever?
First mute. Good thing I was trying to say Louisville because I hate them.
What do you call Louisville?
Oh. Have you and Stillman had a Kentucky-Louisville argument yet?
He tries to tell me he's not that big of a Louisville fan. And I'm like, how? You went to school there. Come on, banter with me.
Yeah,
I'm
lying.
A UK fan.
He's lying.
He's lying. Louisville, the correct pronunciation.
Louisville.
Here in this part of the
not
world.
Not Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louisville is a little much. There's a middle ground to find there. Louisville.
That's right. Tomorrow, game day for the Tennessee Volunteers. Joe Rex wrote, after the show tomorrow, you'll be heading up to Neyland Stadium, a 7 o'clock, almost at puck drop, 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night.
If the quarterbacking is really bad.
It could be a puck drop. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night between Tennessee and Bowling Green. Looking forward to that coming up. We'll have, I think, Josh Ward joining us tomorrow morning on the show at 6:30 to preview Tennessee and Bowling Green as well. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a great rest of their Wednesday here. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.